Guys, welcome back to another ESL podcast. I am so grateful this morning out here today in Thailand. I got a wonderful human being in front of me that I just linked up with through another, of course, a sidekick of mine that I do another podcast with, Luke Burrows. And oh my God, I linked up with her. She is from Russia. And when I heard the accent, I fell in love. Man, I'm so grateful this morning. Veronica, thank you for coming on.
Thanks so much, Arsenia. I love your attitude, man. Like, your voice is so freaking phenomenal. Like, the way you speak, I could not hold myself. Like, I was literally jumping while replying to such fantastic energy and vibe you have. So thanks so much for connecting this way.
Absolutely. I remember you saying that, and I was listening to your voice message while I was on the platform, and I was just laughing because you're like, oh my God, your voice. And I was like, really? I have a lovely voice? Oh my God, thank you. So tell the people who you are, Veronica.
Okay, well, I'm originally from Russia. I left my home country, guys, when I was 15. Wow. I was about to jump into Youth Olympics. And next, I'm going to New Zealand to study English.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait. So you, wait. Okay, you kind of broke up there. You said you're a professional, you were a professional basketball player.
Well, in my dream, I wanted to be, but it never happened.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So I applied for basketball school to prep for Olympic reserve. So I was already, you know, packed my stuff, ready to go there to another city at the age of 15. But hell no, my parents are sending me to study English. First, that's my first ever trip abroad besides China, where I grew up next to.
Oh my God, you got stories. Oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah, I got stories. So I'm flying out to New Zealand. Literally, I'm hating my family, I will be honest with you. I hated them first day. Where the hell am I going? Why is they sending out to me to learn English there? And you know what? Then that trip changed my life. The trip changed my life, and I became thankful to my parents. The amount of people and cultures and the experiences that I've been exposed to, it's unbelievable. It was such a push out of my comfort zone of becoming a professional basketball player that it switched my mindset 360 degrees upon me coming back. And the moment I did come back, I told my parents, hey, if you don't mind, and I asked a question that is the most difficult question any child can answer their parents. Can you let me go away from the home nest at the age of 15? My parents with an eyes of like that, like literally, I would say 5 rubles, because 5 ruble was a big coin back then. Right. They said yes somehow, and that's how my journey started. I finished high school, all high school in like 3 months, and I took off, traveled a little bit through Thailand to China, went for a vacation in Sri Lanka, and then went to New Zealand, where I lived for a year and a half. And now I'm in Canada, and I've been here since 2013, I believe. That's my journey.
Wow. So wait, okay. So at the age of 15, they said they were going to send you to, of course, New Zealand. And then instead you did a nice little travel through Asia before going to New Zealand, right?
No, actually I went to New Zealand.
Okay.
I've lived there. I've studied there. I loved it. But before actually to go to continue study, I had to finish my high school. So what I did while I was finishing my high school, I was traveling through Asia to get more cultural experience, you know, learn more about people because I love people and I love working with them. And when I did all of that, I took off to New Zealand back and I studied there. I studied health sciences. So I was going to be a doctor. Never happened, but I don't regret it.
Right.
I made fantastic connections and now I'm in Canada. doing completely the opposite thing.
The opposite thing. So, okay, again, I'm going to dive into, of course, the whole doctor part of it, but what did you learn most, especially while traveling through Asia? Being here in Thailand, things happen, you know, and I see a lot of foreigners that come here and they're too open-minded and they're not really prepared, because there are instances that if you don't have, well, a lot of people would say common sense, but I would say street smarts, that, you know, if you go to different islands, resort islands, this and that, people are out to get you. And it's unfortunate, you like in terms of money and whatnot. And then you being in China, and of course, I guess people not speaking much English out there. In Sri Lanka, I'm very interested. So tell me about the three countries and some of the problems that you had, but how you were, you were able to overcome them.
Ooh, where do I start?
Let's go Thailand first. Up to you.
Thailand? You want to start Thailand? Okay. Oh, yeah. Thailand was a kickoff to my head. I'll be honest with you. It was such a kickoff. Many things happened. I was first surprised of how hardworking Thai people are, actually. I was surprised. They are hardworking. I never knew that in a family where a husband has a business, and I know many Thai people I'm connected to here especially, they go to work 4 or 5 a.m. every freaking day in Thailand. Every freaking day, not 1 minute later, not 1 minute like earlier. It's discipline, consistency. Consistency, and nobody complains. They just do because it's their job. Yeah. I was so mesmerized by that, because that's what we lack in Western cultures, I believe, consistency. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've personally picked up from Thailand specifically. I love that also in Thailand, people hustle. People find ways to make it around. I'm not sure if you've noticed that or not. You've lived there for longer than I did, because I didn't have that much exposure, unfortunately. Right. And sometimes they do things that are completely out of the blue for us, I would say, for white people. I'm gonna be like honest, like I'm gonna say that.
Sure.
Family. I was also surprised with the fact that children, some families grow children, guys, to be singers and dancers and performers. You have a special street, I believe, entertainment street, where you can go and see lots of men with beautiful voices, fantastic. Like, for me, it was such a cultural shock, but I loved it. Mm. I loved it. I think it's bold. It's okay that it takes place. Like, I personally feel that. I think that that was like another sidekick for me, honestly. Looking at people in Thailand, I love that even though they work so hard, somehow they found that moment where they've been in the moment. They just enjoy their lives at the same time, no matter how hard or no matter how easy it is for them. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about Asian cultures, like specifically. I love about all of the cultures. They're very polite. They're very honorable. They're very respectful. And they, by giving respect to you, they expect you to give that respect back.
Absolutely.
And those who understand that, they're the best friends of Asians. I tell you that, of Asian cultures. Mm. Yeah.
That's amazing. So that, man. Where in Thailand, where were you? Where were you in Thailand? Because, yeah, I mean, like, there are some entertainment streets in terms of, you know, that are notorious and whatnot, but there are some very gorgeous places. And Bangkok is so big. Like, I just went to a different part of Bangkok where the people are much different from another part of Bangkok that's only 5 kilometers away. Thailand has extremes, like super extremes, you know?
Same. Like, from what I remember, I've been to Pattaya, I've been to Bangkok. Mm-hmm. I've been to the islands. So I saw the dichotomy of people resting on the islands and people working on the islands. And I saw the dichotomy of people in Pattaya who hustle and like markets are fascinating. Love walking through the markets, food markets, especially, and seeing the farmers and the fishermen working on the market. It just fascinated me. Like my trip to the fish market struck me completely. They bring out the fish, they clean it right on the market, and then the leftovers being kept, and then it's being sold right up to you, fresh. Yeah, take it.
It's crazy.
What I really love is that nobody felt like the job that they were doing was not worthy of them. You know what I mean? Like some people think that, oh, I'm not going to go do the clean the washroom because it's too low below me.
Right.
No, I want to be a manager. Right. But as I said it to you earlier, people took job and just they treated it with perfection. Like every fish that was caught and, you know, clean, it was perfect. And it just flied into your hands to a customer's hands. Right. And I loved it. Right. I did love it. Bangkok, insane. Race, beautiful town, amazing foods. It's a different vibe. Just totally different vibe. I think it would be very subjective of me to say what I think about specific places, because each person, depending where they come from, they connect to different things in Thailand. It's just how Asia is. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Oh, yeah. In Asia, like, I'm telling you. Go ahead.
Like for you, what would be like the definitive connection point in Bangkok? Like, what would be?
You know, I thought there were like some bubble. Like me, I'm an energy person, so I could pick people up very, very easily in terms of my intuition. I could tell when someone's going through hell. I could tell when someone is just discontent. I could tell when someone is living in the moment. So I remember there was an energy bubble in the heart of Bangkok near the business district called a place called Cheat Loam. And every time I was there, I just felt so alive. Now, that energy is gone since then. Like, that was about 2 years ago. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, where are the other places? Yeah, because it's so weird. Like, again, I pick up solid energy from different places. And I remember that specific place right there on that bridge connecting the train and everything. It was just a magnet of good energy. So from like right now, I'm still trying to pick up where these places are. But I think there's another place where I work at every Friday and Sunday evening. And when I'm there, and especially when I go back home, that entire road, it's a huge good energy magnet too. So, yeah, it's really interesting. It's interesting, but I can't. But again, when I told you that Thailand has its extremes, one person could have a completely different perception from another person. So, I mean, I could come across some people, depending on what frequency I am on that or at that particular moment, that are unfriendly, that look at me a different way. But when I'm in the moment and I don't really focus on those things, I could pick up people who don't really care about that stuff. Or maybe they smile and I'm like, oh my God, you smiled at me. This is amazing. You know what I mean? So,
I know.
Right. So then so Thailand, how much different was it from China? Where were you in China?
In China, I was in northern China.
Ooh, wow.
Oh my God. It was interesting growing up next to that province. I've been visiting it quite a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Next to Heilongjiang, Harbin, Heilongjiang, closer to Beijing.
Harbin? Do you say Harbin?
Harbin. Yeah. Harbin.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. 1 year you go to China and I took a bus. A really cool thing about my town is that it's just 2 hours by bus from the border. The trip started like this. You take a bus as a group, you go to the border, you go through the Russian border, then you get freaking stuck in the middle for 2 hours to go to Chinese border. Then you walk out of the side of the bus, you change the bus to another bus, and then you cross Chinese border. So the city that I used to always change the buses in, you go inside and it's empty. The town is empty, completely empty. Like, you see those high rises, those markets, but there are no people, nobody. And I felt like I was getting into ghost cities.
Wow, I've heard about that a lot. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually true. And while me growing up and with each trip to those provinces every year, by the time I turned 15, 16, I've noticed that farming houses became other high rises. People started showing up. And even when you go to the core of the city, before it used to be just Chinese shops, Chinese signs, Chinese food, Chinese clothes. You can trade. I learned to trade. Mm-hmm. I learned to come up to a Chinese seller and say, he's giving me a price for an item. And I tell him, this one. He's like, no. And then we trade. I learned to find the freaking best deal at this, like before, when I was a teenager. I learned to do that. And I so freaking loved it because it helps me today in my job every day.
Right.
And currently, like if I am now, if I go, like, no, not now, if 16 and I go that again to China, you see Russian signage. You see Chinese people in northern China speaking Russian language perfectly.
That's crazy.
And you see Chinese students coming to my town to study Russian. Like half of the university, language university, is full of Chinese students. That would have never happened when I was 9 or 10, and I remember that.
Why? Why is that?
China is growing. So before, Russia had a better economy. Now China's economy is much better. It's growing at a higher rate. So now it's cheaper for when it used to be cheaper for Russian people to go to China, buy food, groceries, clothes, everything. Now it's cheaper for Chinese people to come to Russia and buy food, clothes, everything else. So we buy stuff from them, bring it back here, and Chinese, they sell it to us, and then they come to our place and they buy it back, sort of thing. it's hilarious how the economy freaking works, I tell you. And what my parents are telling me right now, because it's been quite some time since I was 16, I'm 23 now, they tell me, you go to supermarkets, which are outside of town, like huge, like Costco style.
Right.
And you won't find food on the shelves.
Right.
You would not find food on the shelves. Chinese people just come and they put all of the food into the baskets and they take it back home.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
Especially flour and oil. That's like flour, oil, candy, and meat specifically. Those are items of high demand for China.
Wow, man. That is so cool living near border towns. And this is why I think, like, in America, if you look at San Antonio, which is, I think, the closest biggest city to Mexico, if I'm not mistaken, they get the best of both worlds. So if you look here in Thailand, geographically speaking, it's perfect. Why? Because people in the north, they speak Lao, okay? Some of them speak French, because Lao, again, French colony, right?
Yeah.
And then if you go to the eastern side, you have Thai people who speak not only Thai, but they speak Khmer, which is the Cambodian language. And then on the western part, you got people who speak Burmese, right? Myanmar. And then down south, you got people who speak Bahasa, which is the Malay language. And they actually exchange with ringgits and Thai baht at the southern border. Man, that's so cool to me, man. You know, but
I've mesmerized, you know, all of that.
I know. Well, I was putting things together. I think I was just like, man, they don't understand the opportunity, because if you could speak Bahasa, English, and Thai, dude, that's, you're trilingual. The opportunities go up. And so this is why I'm trying to tell people that there's so much ample opportunity everywhere for everyone, you know. So, oh man, you live all the way on the eastern side of Russia.
Yeah, I'm not from Moscow. I consider myself Asian.
That is cool, man. Okay, so wait, so Moscow, folks in Moscow, they consider themselves European as opposed to Asian, is that right? Oh,
that's
my
correct.
God. Siberia. Do they consider themselves Siberians? Do they consider themselves Asian?
Central Russia.
Is that Central Russia? Okay, I got my geographics. You know Russia's really big, so I don't know where is where. You know what I mean? So
I think you will be pretty much right no matter where you put your finger on the map.
Oh, man, right. Okay, and so I want to just focus on one more thing before we get into, of course, what you're doing and whatnot. But going to Sri Lanka, I've been contemplating on going to this country for a while. And it's still something that I want to go, a place I would really love to go to, because Colombo, oh my God, I know it's beautiful. So tell me about your trip in Colombo. Or I'm sorry, I don't know if you went to Colombo, but Sri Lanka in general.
Good question. My geographical map in my head is probably gonna undermine my ability to remember whether I've been to Colombo or not. I don't remember where it is on the map. Apologies for that. But I did a tour around Sri Lanka, and I stayed in several areas. When I went there, it was right after the war. I believe it was a couple of years right after the Tiger War. Wow. Yeah. So you could see the military base set up between the small villages, I would call them. You move on the buses through each and every place. Mm-hmm. Oh, there is no single word to describe Sri Lanka. It's spiritual indeed. It is spiritual because I've never been exposed to so much, let's call them relics. Mm. Let's call them temples from Buddhism culture. They were magnificent. Just standing next to a temple in the form of the half sphere, just looking at it, I felt small. I felt spiritually small.
Right.
And I was not at my wisdom age, let's call it like that.
right.
And that's a feeling I got. People there are also very interesting. They smile. They don't talk to you. Okay. They don't talk to you. They smile. Uh-huh. They wave at you. And they just bend in kindness. I did not, unfortunately, have any conversation.
Wow.
I was struck by how much control military still has on the island.
Wow.
They checked back then, they checked the buses. When we went out, most of the grocery shops, they had metal crossover doors over them. Like you could buy only literally bananas, fruits, maybe biscuits, maybe Milo, right. Maybe Nesquik, Milo. Something like that. Yeah, Milo,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I love that drink. That was pretty much it you could buy on those shops, like small stops. There are lots of tourists, but I felt that place was, I don't want to say it was empty. It felt at peace. I felt discreet. I felt that people were so okay with the lifestyle they had there that there were no tendency to go elsewhere.
Right.
I did not see ambition in people. One of the most striking things that I had in my memory,
mm-hmm.
it's going to stay with me until the end of my life, mm-hmm. is we were on the bus and I'm looking in the window and it's raining like hell.
Yeah.
And a woman with two kids, one next to her and one on her shoulder, waving at us while the house made out of clay on the background is sliding down.
Wait, you said what was sliding down?
House, probably their house.
Wow.
That's the picture I'm describing. And they're standing like half knees in the water, waving at us,
wow.
at the tourists on the bus.
Uh-huh.
And they're smiling. And for me, it was a culture shock. Like I could not, because in Western world, we're taught to work. I don't know, make lots of money,
mm-hmm.
Make a career,
yep.
family after.
Right.
And what I saw there, it was completely the opposite.
Wow.
It's just threw me off the horse back then, especially when you eat only eggs, bananas, and watermelons while you're moving from one place to another.
Right.
it was a killer place for me. It opened my eyes to things I would have never paid attention before, like kids having a bath in the river. And that's something that was totally new to me. But I saw happiness. I saw them being happy in the river having shower. It was strange.
Right. Wow. And you know what? Seeing that not only on videos, but seeing that in the south of Thailand and some kids, it's kind of like what Neil Donald Walsh said. I remember he was talking about being in Africa. I forgot what country, but he said there were lion attacks all the time. There were no windows to some of these huts, but he felt so sorry for the people, but the people were so happy. And so then he realized at that specific moment, of course, that he was the one that was unhappy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's kind of like and some people who have like, the unfortunate things that happen, they consider themselves, some of these people, they don't even know that they're in poverty. They're just living. But we consider that through the Western world to be poverty. But, they always say, don't pity us because you're going to make us feel even less. Or sometimes they say, don't pity us. I'm very happy and content with my life. You know what I mean? So it puts a lot into perspective.
It does. And I'm grateful for that perspective. I didn't know back then, right now, you nicely put it into a quote and you backed it up with information that you noticed as well.
Right.
But that back then, when you're 16, 15, you don't know how to put that into words. I felt that intuitively. But I'm able to describe it only like these days, and especially in English, not in my own language.
Right. Wow. What a trip. So, again, that entire Asian trip had probably shaped you up significantly. And at the age of what age did you go to Canada?
I was 17.
Wow. And so why Canada? You went to, of course, Vancouver, where you're living right now, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, why Vancouver? And did you end up finding your purpose there? I mean, you did. Do you want to go back to Russia? There's a lot of different things, you know.
That's a great question. I sometimes ask myself why Vancouver, to be honest with you, because funny enough, believe it or not, Vancouver is literally exactly the same as Vladivostok, the city where I'm sort of coming from. So I'm from a small town next to Vladivostok, and Vladivostok is the same size as Vancouver and vice versa.
Right.
Vancouver's nature is twice as big as Vladivostok's nature. Vancouver's buildings are made of glass, while Vladivostok's buildings are made of classical architecture. So they're kind of similar and not similar at the same time.
Right.
And they have the same number of people living in those places.
Wow.
Believe it or not. Just 9 hours away by plane from each other.
Only 9 hours?
It's in total 13. 13 in total.
Okay.
But I say 9 if it's a direct flight.
Because direct flight, because you are you're at the top of the globe and Vancouver's at the top of the globe. So you don't have to go. Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting how the world works, because if you're at the top and another country's at the top, then it takes shorter time compared to being in the middle and then having to go to the top. It's just confusing. But okay,
yeah.
So you went to Canada at the age of 17 and then boom.
Yeah. So I applied for studies to Canada. Why Canada? Because at that moment, UK didn't seem like a good option with all of the political situation that was going on. And my parents didn't feel comfortable sending me there back then. Or not sending, allowing me to go. Because in Russia, you have to be 18 to go by yourself. So they have to sign a waiver for me to leave the country.
Right.
That's how it works in Russia. So I applied to Canada in a few colleges. I had good, amazing grades that helped me to get into school.
Right.
And the first province that sent me invitation to come to Canada was actually Vancouver, BC. And I thought, it's a destiny. I should just take it. Why not? And I took it. And I did not consider other invitations from other provinces. I just decided to go with the flow. And here I am since 17.
Since 17. Oh, my God. And so did you know? Okay, now I remember you said that you didn't end up becoming a doctor. Do you?
Yes.
Yeah. So did you want to become a doctor, or was it something that you were chasing through the opinions of other people?
Fantastic question. Mine was a little bit different. I know what you're talking about. And yeah, medicine wasn't. So medicine was a very interesting fascination of mine because my uncle, unfortunately, he was diagnosed with the wrong disease because one piece of paper was lost.
Wow.
Yeah. And he died before 33, so before the age of Christ, he died. And I, at the same time, my classes in school, I really enjoyed biology, chemistry, physics, like I rocked them. And this emotional, I would call it emotional trauma of losing my uncle, because my uncle was a part of my inspiration. It inspired me to go to med school. That's why I wanted to go to med school at the beginning. And when I did my first year in New Zealand, mm-hmm. I applied to university to med school and I wasn't accepted. I was not accepted and I couldn't understand why. Being a high achiever, type A personality, that's tough when you get rejected. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, whatever, I'll apply to Russian university, mm-hmm. to medic school. I wasn't accepted there either. You know what? They told me, your psychological profile is perfect, but you're not ready. I'm like, how? I'm not ready. What? I'm not ready. I finished high school young and all of that. And yeah, you're not ready. Okay, cool. What am I going to do if I'm not ready? But the thing about me is that I was always fascinated with people. And actually psychology and business. And I thought, what would be the next thing on my list? I really wanted to save people's lives or help people. And I thought that medicine would be the best thing at that moment of time for me to save people. And I wanted to become a surgeon. And that's one of the toughest things you can go to. You have to have a specific mindset to go there. And you know what? I'm thankful I was not accepted in neither of the schools. I'm sincerely thankful. I took it as a sign. I believe in signs. And I took it as a sign and I just changed life completely from that point on.
Wow. And okay, so dang, that's amazing. And that, I mean, honestly, if I look back, of course, on what I was doing, you know, with dental assisting, this, that, and then being mistreated by, of course, a lot of dentists. And then, you know, there was a moment, I remember I was working in the heart of CBD, Sydney, Australia, as a dental assistant back in 2012, sucking saliva out of another human being's mouth with a freaking suction. And I remember looking outside and looking at these buildings all the time, and I kept saying to myself, I should be out there. But I didn't really know what that meant, you know? I was like, I didn't feel that I was fully utilized in my personality. Every time I was done sucking the saliva and doing all that crazy slave work that I do for a dentist, I go outside, then of course I have this Croatian-Australian over here, then I have, you know, someone from, oh, Nepal! That's right, I forgot her name. Oh my God, I'm bringing back memories now. Anyways, I've actually had a Nepalese friend and whatnot, which is really cool. And anyways, we would just have these conversations. It would be so fun. It would be so funny. But then when I go back into the room, I'm like, this sucks. So, yeah, I guess you possibly going into surgery and whatnot, but you always having that desire to help people. I always had that desire to speak. And so it's funny how life plays out. So what is it that you do right now? because you help people.
I do. I do help people at this moment, and the way I came to it is very interesting as well. Currently, I'm working towards building my virtual coaching practice, and that's what it's my favorite way of helping people, because the transformation I went through is it's unbelievable. Mm. I helped people on a personal level. I helped people on a career level. Mm. I helped entrepreneurs who were starting their business to help them start up and, you know, own their voice. I helped immigrants to step up, because it's a different topic for another conversation. I can talk about that like long. Uh-huh. But also, to come to this point, I've taken a few random jobs that helped me to come here. I helped people through sales. I helped people through supervising their work. I helped people through doing research. I help people through teaching them how to use technology and economics, public speaking. Like, you never know. Like, a collection of smaller experiences is gonna lead you at the end to what you're doing. Right. Like, believe it or not. And again, generation like myself, millennials, mm-hmm. we are millennials. We are indeed impatient, right. But if you look back at all of the smaller things that you did, and you look at who you are at this moment and what you're working on, what you're doing, it's actually adds up and brings you closer to what you want to do, as long as you have that vision, as long as you have that, you know, passion towards those things.
Wow. So you help people in a lot of different ways. I remember you posted some very interesting things, about, oh my God, it was something about water that pertained to clean water, if I'm not mistaken.
Clean water.
Or water in general. I'm not exactly sure. Of course, that about to be a very high commodity in the world, probably in the next 20 to 50 years, clean water. Or drinking water, whatever. But yeah, I love it, because the things you post, it's so much in tune with what I got going on the Arsenio Buck Foundation, which I haven't been focusing on just yet. But I'm waiting to, you know, take off and take that big step going forward. But yeah, so again, it's not so much of a foundation you have, right?
No, I do not have a foundation, like, as an organization. Mm-hmm. Like, by day, I work with nonprofits and I help startups to do crowdfunding. So I do a lot of marketing, promotion, sales. And I help do a little bit of brand strategy. But by night, I am a woman Batman, as I told you in coaching. Right. I'm building myself up to it. And what I would really love to do as of now is to jump on a call, on a 30-minute call like you and I are having right now, with 100 specifically. I would love to speak to 100 women and help them solve, or at least guide them, give them a few solutions to solve one problem. And if I don't do that, they can have another hour with me to help them solve the problem. And I think it would be an amazing start, because what I believe in, especially for women, especially international like myself, when we jump into a different cultural environment, we don't speak up.
Right.
We don't speak up. We don't stand out. Right. It's just how women are, specifically.
Right.
And that's what I would love to do in the next, starting in the next few weeks, right after I'm back from New York.
Is that right? I'm so excited about that. That's exactly what we're probably, Luke, you and I, we're probably going to be talking on, obviously, on Motivational Mentors coming soon. And we'll have to expand on a couple of other things, you know. But I'm really excited about that. So how can people, if they are interested, because I do have a Russian audience, I cannot pronounce the names. I could probably just send them to you and say, what's this? I just actually posted on Google to see where they're at, because I love just seeing where people live. And I'm like, whoa, that's a cool town. Oh, my God, you live there? That's so small. You know what I mean? So how can people get in contact with you if they are interested in what you have going on? And of course, everyone, I will put her links in the description, so do not forget to check that out.
Definitely would love to. So today I will set up a Calendly link specifically for your audience.
Nice.
So in case you would like to book a time slot with me right today, so I'll do that right away. I will also post my LinkedIn or Instagram. I live on LinkedIn, so LinkedIn would be the best place to catch me, but direct Facebook message, I will post a link there, or Instagram message as well. That's where people can find me.
Awesome, awesome. And I'm going to have to follow your Instagram because, again, I post little sneak peeks throughout the week leading up to, leading up to the podcast debut. So, for example, today, which is, oh my gosh, today's Saturday or Sunday? Sunday.
It is Saturday for me. I'm calling to you from the past.
Oh,
remember,
that's
you're
right.
In the
future. I'm in the future.
Lucky you.
That's so awesome. But yeah, I mean, of course, I always pre-record these. That's what I'm doing right now. And so I post sneak peeks. I tag you all these good things. And of course, yeah, it's really cool how I continue developing the marketing and, you know, just doing things to help individuals. So sounds good. Guys, I'm going to put all her links in the description. And Veronica, thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to be speaking to you again very, very soon. And we'll probably have to do some kind of Be Live TV after that and whatnot, which I've already talked to you about. But yeah, thank you so much. If anyone reaches out to me or reaches out to you, I'm so excited to, of course, answer any questions. And Veronica, again, we'll be diving more into these very, very soon, guys. So stay tuned. And again, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Arsenio. It was such a pleasure.
You're very, very welcome. And guys, with that being said, you already know how to get in touch with me. Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. I'm your host, Arsenio, as usual. Over and out.